As we are here together to worship the Lord, first of all, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And we greet you, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let's praise the name of the Lord. Let's sing in Psalm 131, all the three verses. Church of all times and all places, we will confess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, and thereafter we will sing from Psalm 28, verse 4. Psalm 28, verse 4, after our confession of faith. Everyone speaks with me in his heart. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Oh,
solitude prayer. Dear Father in heaven, as we did sing it, indeed all thanks and praise belongs to thee alone, to thee the God of our salvation. Thou art our strength, our shield forever. Lord, we confess that amid the daily routine of life, so often we forget to rejoice in this beautiful confession. Forget at times even to live from it. When we, for instance, feel snowed under by all the difficulties and stress of life. And therefore, Father, we thank thee that this afternoon thou wilt once again come to us with thy word to help us refocus, to comfort and strengthen us. But also when it is needed, to warn us, to live close to thy word. Especially this afternoon when we may focus on what it means to do thy will. Father, we pray thee open our hearts to the gospel. By thy spirit help us to listen attentively, so that Satan has no opportunity to distract our attention. Grant that as fruit we may go home, strengthened and comforted in faith. Bless us so as we worship thee this afternoon. But we pray thee for a blessing wherever thy word goes out today. May many hear it. Also those who at present still live in darkness, many of whom also suffer from all the turmoil going on in this world at so many places. Lord, grant that they too may hear the joyous news of salvation in Jesus Christ and find peace, that inner peace that gives us strength to cope, also with difficult circumstances. If it's thy will, Father, grant also relief in so many of these places and bless the means and aid through which aid is provided to so many stricken areas. People that live in poverty, people in refugee camps, people that are continually in danger of life. Lord, have mercy. And grant that he may hear the gospel, even if it is only by means of a Christian aid worker. Thy word that can penetrate hearts, so that people indeed may find that peace. To the Heavenly Father, bless also all mission work, wherever it goes out. Be with the missionaries and their families. Protect them and provide them according to their needs. Above all, Father, if it is thy will, grant fruit upon their labor. Father, we pray thee, be with this world, but also be with our own country. So many people don't want to hear the good news, thinking they don't need thee. Father, work repentance, also here in Australia. Grant that those in a leading position may come to see that it will never go well with Australia unless there is a return to the Bible, to thy word, which gives guidance to cause life to flourish. We need to those who desire to witness the truth, also in Parliament or elsewhere. Grant them the courage and wisdom they need. Lord, help us as thy children also to be true witnesses to everyone whom thou causes to cross our path. To witness, Father, that life needs other priorities than the life most people live for. Obedience to thy commandments, for these are wholesome for life. Grant that many may come to see that. Lord, be so near to us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You now receive opportunity to give to the Lord your gifts of thankfulness. This afternoon, the collection is for the work of Verheven. And after we have given our gifts of thankfulness to the Lord, we will sing from Psalm 19, verses 3, 4, and 6. Thank you. In connection with the Lord's Day, we will focus on this afternoon, Lord's Day 49, where it is explained what it means when we pray, Thy will be done. We'll read from Matthew 25, the verses 14 through to 30, and in response to the reading of God's word, we'll sing the last verse of Psalm 139, verse 13. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14, where the Lord Jesus speaks the following parable. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on the journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord also said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you not have scattered seed. And I was afraid. And went and hid your talents in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. This Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talents from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Psalm 139. Turn to our confession, the Harbier Kergissen, Lord's Day 49, on page 562 of your Book of Prayers. We're going through the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, And we've come to the third petition. What is the third petition? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may deny our own will and without any murmuring obey your will, for it alone is good. Grant also that everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. So far. In response to the sermon, we'll sing from Psalm 86, verse 4. Psalm 86, verse 4. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, so we have come to the third petition this afternoon, Thy will be done. A petition that has to be read in close connection with the other two previous petitions. With the first petition, we prayed, Father, hallowed be thy name. Father, so direct our whole life, all our thoughts, words and actions, that thy holy name is never blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Father's name, always foremost in our minds. If that is true, if that is genuinely your desire, brothers and sisters, you will also live kingdom focused. And you will also rejoice in doing Father's will. And that brings us to the third petition. Father, help me live my faith as a joyful and obedient child of thine. And that's how I've also summarized the theme for this afternoon's sermon, a prayer for faithfulness in joyfully obeying Father's will. And when we pray that, we ask that Father will direct our footsteps according to his words, so that we, secondly, may carry out our duties, our calling and our duties, and that certainly as faithfully as the angels in heaven. First, Father, direct our footsteps according to thy word. According to thy word, that's scripture. In which God has revealed himself, and then we can also read how we must serve the Lord. I think here of what we confess in Article 7 of the Belgian Confession. This article deals with the sufficiency of Scripture. And then the first paragraph of this article reads, we believe that this Holy Scripture fully contains the will of God, and that all that man must believe in order to be saved is sufficiently taught therein. The whole manner of worship which God requires of us is written in it at length. So, that article says that God's word is given to us to direct our footsteps according to his will. All that concerns God's will is clearly written in God's word. Now, the first point of the sermon, I would like to focus on how clear. Clearly, but how clear? Clear in all circumstances of life we are confronted with? Is the Bible indeed always clear, teaching us what God wants us to do? And then in particular also concerning the practical issues of life, as we sometimes discuss them at a Bible study club meeting. How often does it not happen, beloveds, that people draw different conclusions? It's both persons saying, but I base this on God's word. At times you see this also when letters are written to the editor in Una Sancta or Stuart's magazines. How often do we differ when it comes to applying God's word in specific areas of life, especially daily life, the daily routine of life? How can I know what Father asks me so that I can without any murmuring obey his will?
Now, brothers and sisters, there is nothing new under the sun. We have even an example of scripture. I think of the eating of food sacrificed to idols addressed by the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians.
Some members had no qualms about eating this food. What are idols? It's nothing. But others were deadly against it. You can't do that. That is food served to idols.
Both parties wanted to sincerely serve the Lord according to his words, but opinions differed.
Does all this now mean that scripture is open to different interpretations?
If that were true, beloveds, how then we can clearly know the will of God for our daily lives, especially concerning the practical issues?
Especially these practical issues. See, as far as doctrine is concerned, we are firmly united. We adhere to the Reformed doctrine, but when it comes to living this doctrine, often days depart. The one says God does not forbid this, and the other says there is nothing wrong with that. Will I do that? So the one says there is nothing wrong with it, and the other says you can't do that. It's forbidden by God.
And both say that they sincerely want to serve the Lord and base it on God's word. So that brings us back to the question, how clear is God's word to give us light in all circumstances of life? It's clear. There should be no doubt about this. That's what we confess. It's Article 7, Welsh Confession. The sufficiency of Scripture.
So, brothers and sisters, the point is not that there is some faulty with God's word. The fault lies with us, children of God, whose mind is darkened by sin, and who quite often are also selfish in their thinking,
unwilling to deny their own will, even if it would be of benefit to the neighbor. We are quite selfish.
And that's why it is crucial when studying God's word, either personally or together, that we also pray through the Spirit that God may illumine our darkened minds to help us understand his word according to his divine will.
In all this, brothers and sisters, when you study God's word, when you meditate on it, also personally,
a good thing would be that before you do so, say, Lord, help me now to understand thy word according to thy will, that I also may accept it as it stands there, and not via selfish interpretation may think, or maybe this is all right as well. Next, when studying God's word, to understand God's word as the will for our life, we should also compare passages with other passages of Scripture. So easily people take a text and say, this is what the Bible teaches. And it sounds convincing. But they have not delved deeply into God's word, praying at the same time, Lord, open my eyes that I might see thy will clearly. And that's what God requires. Teach me, Lord, to put what I read here now also into practice so that I may do thy will. Help me to deny my own will, which is often very strong, because of our old sinful self.
Putting it like this, beloved, I'm afraid that this attitude is often missing with us. And why is it that we find it difficult to do what God requires of us in specific circumstances? Is that because Scripture is not clear enough? That it starts with ourselves. That we find it hard to obey God's commandments. Because we find it hard, we start interpreting God's word as it fits us. And then say, there is nothing wrong with this. Just prove me. Why is this wrong?
So you throw the ball into the other court before you have even examined yourself. Am I really true?
Now see, I'm true. Without denying yourself.
Show me where God has said that this is forbidden. At times we say this, while we know pretty well inside something is not wrong. Something is wrong. Something is not pleasing the Lord, but we don't want to give it up. And we want to make ourselves strong with God's word. We impose silence upon that voice of our hearts, make ourselves believe it's okay. That's why we also sang, "Search our heart, O Lord." Let's all be careful that we never try to get away with God's commandments by all kinds of arguments, simply because we don't want to break with certain sins in our life. By way of example, think of the sermons we hear on Sunday. Through these sermons, God wants to make clear to us his will for everyday life. And for this reason, the minister has sometimes to be very practical in his preaching. Point to real issues that he has to address in the midst of the congregation and where members of the congregation seem to struggle with. But the preacher is there to shed light on God's words, also concerning specific issues. What does the Lord say? You know, the sermon is more than just giving a nice exegesis of a particular text, after which you can come home and say, "Well, I've learned a lot today." Of course, that's also a purpose of the sermon, that we get greater understanding in God's words. Yet it should not be when the minister warns against specific sins that then all of a sudden we disagree. And we shrug it off with words like, "That's what the minister thinks. That's his opinion. But I think differently." I realize ministers must be cautious not to lay their personal thoughts in a particular text. A minister should never be issue-driven in his preaching. The preaching should always be Christ-centered. That's the main thing. Not issue-driven. But they also have to bring the word of God in a context of this society, the society we live in. And then to awaken the congregation for dangers that are there. And that they then also say, be sure that you do not give in to these dangers. Submit to God's word. For this is contrary to God's word. For example, when it goes about broken marriages or about living together, or other things. There are many things that people try to get away of and say, "Well, where does it say in God's word?" And then the minister has to be very particular and say, "This is wrong." That's not his own opinion, but he bases that on God's word. In the Kellers of the Lord, we confess, whenever the gospel is preached, it's preached with the command to believe and repent. And the letter is hard. To repent. That's painful. That can cut deep into our sinful flesh. God's word can be sharp, very sharp. It says in the letter to the Hebrews, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Living and powerful, it opens the closed and softening the heart to call us to repentance. And then it might be painful when the preaching uncovers sins and shortcomings in our lives that may hurt our pride. In cases like these, it will never be easy to submit, because it means we must deny our own will, and that's the most difficult thing in life. And that's exactly why we pray this petition. Father, help me to deny my own will and without any murmuring obey thy will, for it alone is good. Now, underneath this answer you find some proof text. And one of these proof texts is Matthew 16 verse 24. So let's for a moment go to Matthew 16 verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24, just a short verse. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now note that the Lord Jesus speaks these words to his disciples while he is on his way to Jerusalem, where he would suffer, ultimately be killed, "if anyone desires to come after me." Do you realize, beloved, the deep seriousness of these words at that very moment? "If anyone desires to come after me, follow me," the Lord Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross. That meant real self-denial. And that's what the Lord also asks of us, to crucify our own sinful flesh. If we do so, our will and desires will no longer carry any weight. But then we also follow Christ, who obeyed his Father, even unto death. Now you may say, well, the Lord Jesus was able to do that, to give that perfect obedience. He was the Son of God. But putting a remark like that, we ignore that the Lord Jesus was also true man. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed, "Father, if it is all possible, let this cup pass from me. But not as I will, but as thou wilt." As true man, Christ looked up against the cross. It made him crawl like a worm in the sand, sweating blood. In anguish, he poured out his heart before his heavenly Father. But he submitted to Father's will, denying himself. And this, beloved, for you and for me. And that's why God wants us to pray also that same prayer, "Thy will be done." "Father, teach me to obey thy will without any murmuring." You may say, that's asking the impossible. I cannot do that. Who can obey God's will perfectly? That's true. None of us this afternoon. None of us, wherever we are. None of us, none in this world, is able to obey God's will perfectly. But beloved, to do that in own strength is not necessary either. For as our Redeemer, Christ not only redeemed us from the guilt by the sin of his blood, he not only redeemed us from guilt, the guilt of sin, by his blood, but through his Holy Spirit he also redeemed us from the power of sin. Through the renewing power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we are able to obey God's will, to do God's will. Through the life-giving Spirit Christ obtained for us, he will help us every day. Christ is there through his Spirit to help you every day to deny your own will and without any murmuring to obey God's will. That will remain stained in his life by sin. But God gives that initial desire there. He will have worked it in your heart and then you will be able to do so. The point is, we don't let go of, we have difficulty to let go of control. We want to control our own life. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to give up this. And you say, "Lord, I lay it in thy hands. Help me, Holy Spirit, help me to deny my own will and to do God's will." If you fervently pray that with a genuine desire, you'll see that your life will change. So that's what we pray. "Help me, Father, by thy Spirit, to break with all selfishness, to deny my own will and to follow Christ day by day, that I may joyfully bear the cross, not being worried about all the scorn, the laughter and mockery I may suffer from by friends at work or by mates, whatever. That's fine. I will suffer it for Christ's sake, but direct my footsteps in thy path. Faithfully carry out my task in the Lord's service, denying my own will. So that I may, as it says here, carry out the duties of my office and calling,
willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. The duties of our office and calling, when hearing these words, we should think not only of church work, but also of our daily work. After all, we are here on earth to serve the Lord in all that we do. God asks faithfulness of us in all that we do, as husband and wife in marriage, keeping the vows made on our wedding day. And likewise, we should faithfully carry out our task as parents in raising the children God has entrusted to us, as he promised at the day of their baptism. The Lord wants us to fulfill all our tasks in faithful obedience to him, in the church, but also at home, students at school, teachers teaching the students, in the workforce, working to the best of our ability with the talents God has given us. That's your first priority. We don't work for money. We don't work for money. We work to honor our Savior. Why do I lay these bricks straight? Not to get me praised by my boss, but because the Lord wants me to take these, to lay these bricks straight. And why do I shoot a pencil a bit from my master or something, like a little bit, just getting the text right and whatever, but for the rest, no. Where do I live for? Not for the money I live for. I'm rather poor with doing God's will than being rich, having compromised God's will. Obey God's will. And that brings us to the parable. But the Lord Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven with a man going on a journey, who called his servants, ordering them in his absence to care for his property. Each servant received their own specific task. One servant was entrusted with 5 talents and all of it, 2 servants with only 1. And no doubt, in distributing these talents, the master had considered the specific ability of each servant. Entrusting a servant with a specific amount of work, the master knew he was not asking too much of any of his servants. He had given them talents according to their abilities. The 2 servants had carried out their task very well. They had tried very hard to make the most of the talents, entrusted them, and this to please their master. But the 3rd servant had hidden his talent to the ground, neglecting the task given to him. So far the parable. Now what did the Lord Jesus mean? What did he want to teach by this parable? Well, once in a similar way as in the parable, the Lord also has given us certain tasks and responsibilities to each according to our own ability. So, for that reason, no one can ever say, this is too much for me, this is too difficult for me. The Lord asks simply of us, and I often say that to people, because they look at others and whatever they... Don't look at others. Don't look at others. Don't look at the other side of the fence. It always seems to be greener. You can... If I only could earn some money, then I could buy that car or whatever. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. In the place where God has set us, with the talents God has given me, I have to be faithful. No more, no less. Faithful, also in difficult circumstances. So faithful when it comes to marriage, to family life, as single persons. As parents, for example, we have to raise the seed of the covenant entrusted to us in the fear of God's holy name. We are to do that faithfully to the utmost of our power in accordance with the vows given at baptism. And then you can say that at that family it all goes nice, at that family goes difficulty, but the Lord knows it. He knows you. In your circumstances, you have to teach your children doing what God requires of you. Not according to what others do, or what seemingly goes much better, seemingly, but simply the vows God has given you, even with difficult children. The Lord knows what you need. Pray for that, be faithful. So also in difficult circumstances, always faithful to the vows. Remember that. Merits, I do. Baptism, I do. Profession of faith, I do. Office bearers, I do. Now, in a similar way, if you draw the circle a bit wider, God asks commitments from the students at school to do their best. Year 12, doing your mock exams, as long as you do your best. Don't worry about the results. Of course you do. An ATAR comes around. You want to have your score so that you can enter into that subject. But ultimately, you can find peace and says, I've done my best. I've done what the Lord wants me to do. I give it to the Lord. And that's how I go without any nerves or worries to my exam. That gives peace. And it's not only by exams, but that is all of life. That's all of life when we have the real desire to do God's will in the place where he has set us, also with our daily job in the workforce, then God will bless that. As children of the covenant, doing what God wants us to do in the place where God has set us, joyfully obeying Father's will. Now, some may say that's very nice, but I'm unemployed. Or I'm already sick for a long time. What can I do for the Lord? How are we to apply the parable in circumstances like these? Well, beloved, the fact that we are unemployed or sick does not mean that we have no task in the service of the Lord. So you may ask, what task is that? Well, the first thing is that we are content, that we do not become rebellious. The Lord has placed that on your path, and then we should not rebel. It can be hard if you see all these healthy people, and I lay in bed all the time. That's hard. And it takes time to come to terms with that. But also then, accept, be content, do not become rebellious. Father, thy will be done. Also now, Father, I want to obey thy will. To accept in faith also the difficult things God places on our path. And then these children of God, if you come to see that, can also see their tasks in life. A sickbed carried by faith can bear a real testimony to those who visit such a sick person. How often have people not said, and I've experienced that myself as well, you go to a person terminally ill and don't think that the minister is any better than you. I tremble as well if someone lays on his deathbed and have to go there. I've been there many times. And every time I turn around the corner, I fervently pray, Lord, what shall I say today? The Lord gives wisdom. And then you visit that person and you come home and you say, I thank thee, Lord. I was comforted by that person on its sickbed. That was her or his task. How often does that not happen? A sickbed can be very difficult. But do you know that when we are sick, the Lord gives us also more time to pray? Not only for ourselves, but also others. I've also heard people laying there on their bed and said, I have now finally more time to pray. For all those people, I so often forgot to pray for. The Lord gives me time to pray. Also, that is a gift. So, that can be hard to ask to fulfill. That the road we must travel can be difficult and dark. And we can't always understand these roads of someone else. I can't understand what a widow or widower goes through. I cannot understand what it means to have chemo treatment and so on. But that doesn't matter, as long as we are there for each other. And not say, which is often done as well, I can understand what you go through. I can't. So we have also to be careful what we say. But then together we may build one another up, even through our weaknesses. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote. When I'm weak, I'm strong. Strong in the Lord
whose grace is always sufficient. And look back on your life. And you have traveled through valleys. And you can look back afterwards. God's grace was sufficient. So we pray for that strength. Father, give me what is needed to be faithful, obedient in the task thou hast given me. That counts. That's the only thing that counts. Indeed, that's the only thing that counts. Faithfulness. Not whether man praise you, but whether God is pleased with what we do. Even if it is done in weakness, but as long as it is done to his glory. In that context, I like to refer to that third servant who had neglected his task. A superficial reading of the parable can make us think, at least the man had not lost on it. He returned the talent which was his master, and it was no cent less. The more careful reading of the parable shows that his servant's attitude did not radiate genuine love for his master. And that's what counts. Love and faithfulness. Only true love towards the Lord will create in us a desire to make the most of the talents given to us and be faithful in the Lord's service. If that love is there, then with all the weaknesses involved, I want to be faithful. But when that love is not there, then we start complaining like that third servant. And I think we all can identify with instances where this happened in our life. Then we come with our ifs and buts. But again, that shows the necessity of this third petition. Father, so direct my footsteps that I'm always a faithful servant, rejoicing in obedience in the place where thou hast set me. Help me to make the most of the talents I have been given to do it to the glory of thy name. As mother, maybe tomorrow doing the vacuum cleaning to the glory of God. As students in school, in the workforce, or wherever, Father, help me to be as faithful as the angels in heaven. That's the last point. The angels are God's servants. We are God's children. However, concerning their faithfulness, the servants function as an example for the children. Article 12, that's the confession. We read that some of the angels had fallen from their exalted position in rebelling to God, but the others have by the grace of God remained steadfast and continued in their first state. And that's how they also today are standing before God, always willing and faithful to carry out God's commands. That's a humiliating example for us as God's children. In Christ, we have received everything we need. And that should make us rejoice in obeying God's voice. But so often we disobey. Disobey the voice of Father. Even our best works are still imperfect and defiled with sins. But the angels, they always serve God in love and faithfulness. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who inherit salvation. Hebrews 1 verse 14. They are sent forth and obey without any murmuring, always active, promoting God's kingdom, active, brothers and sisters, for your and my salvation. They keep watch over Christ's church. They protect God's children. And upon their death, they carry them into Abram's bosom, being zealous for the holiness of God's name, for the coming of God's kingdom. They fight against the devil and his whole dominion. We don't see them. They work behind the scenes. Now, we have a very nice example of that in Scripture. If you turn with me to Daniel 10, just to get a picture of what the angels are doing, us not knowing what they are doing, but in the meantime, they are very busy for us. Daniel 10. We go to Daniel 10. This is the time after exile. The time after exile, the Jews had returned to Jerusalem But upon their return, they meet with opposition from the side of the Samaritans. The Samaritans incited the Persian authorities who were in charge of this province to stop the Jews rebuilding the temple. You can read about it in the book of Ezra. Now, when hearing about this, Daniel, still in Babylon, brings this need before the Lord, mourning for 3 weeks. Chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. And then several further in this chapter, we read that during these 3 weeks, two angels are battling for the same cause. Daniel, 3 weeks, and the Lord doesn't seem to answer him. Now, if you go to verse 10, I'll read you the verses 10 through to 14. Suddenly a hand touched me. It makes me tremble on my knees, on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I've come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I've been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. So, what do we see here? The prince of the kingdom of Persia, an evil angel associated with the Persian Empire, resisted God's purpose, delaying his messenger. But then Michael came, one of the chief angels. And he brought his battle to an end so that the messenger sent by God could complete his journey. A delay of 3 weeks due to the battle behind the scenes. But only a delay, because God was still in control. See, brothers and sisters, we should think more of the angels. We don't always see that. Think of the servant of Elijah. The city was surrounded by enemies. And he trembled. And then Elijah says, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw the angels there, protecting the city. They are around. They are around. Always. We don't see them, but they are ministering servants for our salvation, carrying out the duties in God's service. And then with the third petition we pray, Father, make us now faithful in a similar way. Today, as far as faithfulness and self-denial are concerned, we are still inferior to the angels. But one day we'll be placed above them, for Christ did not give his life for the servants, but for the children. He wants us to come home with Father, so that together with the angels, we may stand before God's throne, serving him day and night, full of love, with zeal and faithfulness. That's the glorious future God has in store for us. Meanwhile, today already God will make us zealous to do his will by the power of his Spirit. So take that home. A few lessons. Just be faithful in the place where the Lord has set us. No more, no less. With a real love for God. Asking, Lord, through thy Spirit, help me to do thy will without any murmuring. And if that is your desire, then you may lay the outcome in God's hand. And then we don't always see what we want to see. But then God says, faithful servants, when the time comes, go into your master's house and rejoice doing my will without any sinful stain on your life. I read an article not so long. And the man said, I'm tired of sin. I think most of us can identify that. I'm tired of sin. But the day will come that we'll sin no more. That's our glorious future. And if that is our longing, then today, with joy, we will do Father's will. Amen. Has been received from Sister Arkela Maring, just married. Her maiden name is Van Dijk. She comes to us through the Free Reformed Church of Beirut. We welcome her in our midst. Let's pray. Lord, we thank thee for the opening of thy word. Help us also to work with it, to the glory of thy great and wonderful name. Help us realize that this is the purpose for which thou hast created us, to worship thee in all that we do. A life of worship, a living faith. A living faith not because of what we do, but rejoicing in the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, making our faith active in thy service. Grant, Lord, that we never grieve thy Spirit, trying out our own ways, but instead grant that in genuine thankfulness for all the thou hast given us in Christ, we want nothing else but serving thee with our whole life. Lord, help us to hold on to that glorious gospel of thy incredible love for us sinners. And grant that this gospel may give us joy amid the trials of life. Trials because of the brokenness of this life. Lord, help us in all circumstances of life to cling to thee and so find peace even amid difficulties. Peace as only thou can give it. But we pray thee be near to us this week. We could start with thee today. Be now near to us in work and leisure. Protect us on the road wherever we go. Protect us not just physically, but also spiritually, amid all the trials and temptations often facing us. Take us all in the dark protecting wings, by day and by night, by day and by night. Not only us, but also our loved ones, be it here, in Australia, or elsewhere. Lord, due to travel restrictions, we still cannot visit loved ones overseas, or even over east at times. And that hurts, especially when parents get older, or when there is sickness, or even death. That's painful. Lord, be also near to those members of the congregation who may struggle at times with the decisions taken by the government. But also then, Father, we may give that into thy hands. Be so near to us, to all of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In conclusion, we will sing from hymn 63, verses 1 and 4. Of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.